Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. These are your favorite hosts, Sarah and Garrison. This is Spoopy Month, and we are going to start out our last and final season of the year with a movie called Robot Carnival. This is an anthology. It's an interesting one because it's a collection of like predominantly silent animes. Like they have music to them, but they're done in various styles, all containing robots. And I realized that this is very similar to a well-known anthology that's on Netflix by the name of Love, Death, and Robots. I don't know if that kind of hit you in the face there to Garrison or not, but it's like pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, because these short films do have stories of love, there's also death, and of course robots, so the comparison is appropriate.
True. I wonder if one inspired the other.
That's not possible. Actually, maybe, yeah. Let's go with that theory. Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Okay, so, tell us, about... Okay, so hold up. Before we go into anything else, let me talk about the different names of the anthologies, because we'll probably, you know, talk about them one by one. So, the first one is Opening... then there's Starlight Angel, Cloud, Deprive, Franken's Gears, Presence, A Tale of Two Robots, Chapter 3, Foreign Invasion, Nightmare, and then the ending.
Right. you know, these were like done by like 9 different directors, I think. And this film was actually one of the first films that many of these people had directed, and many of these people ended up becoming some big names in anime industry, including, but not limited to, Katsuhiro Otomo, who of course did Akira, and the composer for a lot of Ghibli films, Joey Hisayashi. I'm gonna butcher these names, guys. Many of these people have also worked on a bunch of Gundam things later on. The Animatrix, FooliCooly, Neon Genesis, Dot Hack stuff. So these people end up doing a lot of other robot stuff, so that's pretty neat. Some names include Hiroyuki Kitakubo, Katashi Namura, Hiroyuki Kitazume, Yasuomi Umetsu, and Koji Morimoto.
Okay, all right. I think, so let's talk about like the entirety of the anthology and maybe what our thoughts of it are, because I didn't realize that this was an anthology going into this, so I think I was delightfully, yet, like, I don't know, bizarrely surprised. Like, it kind of threw me off just a little bit, because some of these are very strange. Like, this is a very strange mood to this entire anthology.
Yeah, I kind of just found myself with a blank glazed stare for half of them, and for the other half I was just sort of scratching my head. It's very strange, surreal.
Yeah. And it reminded me of the, like, Studio Ponoc, you know, like,
Modest
shorts Hero. That we, yes, Modest Heroes that we were watching, and how each one of them had, like, a different feel to it. But some of these were just so, so off the wall. I had no idea what was going on. I was very, very confused. And so you'll probably hear us talking about, like, each one and how it might have impacted us in that way. I don't know. What do you have any other overall, like, thoughts about this?
No overall thoughts. I'm just waiting to get into each short.
All right. Okay. So, you want to talk about the opening?
Yeah. So this film opens, in a barren wasteland. We see a young boy. He like sees this poster for the robot carnival that's coming up, and he hastily makes it back to his village and tries to warn the people. They don't really listen until we see this giant, structure that says Robot Carnival, and it's making like music and noises, and like fireworks are coming out of it, and it's on like tank tracks, so it's like moving through the desert like that, and it completely bulldozes this small village. Some people can make it out, some of them get crushed, and that's kind of how it starts, where we see this structure that's like seemingly spreading joy and positivity, but contrasting that against carnage that is leaving in its wake, it's this skin crawly uncomfortable that it gave me.
Interesting. Yeah, I felt like it was like the desert definitely was like a contrast of everything that was going on. I had like Dune vibes. There were like Nausicaa Valley of the Wind vibes. And then we basically just like jump right into the next little, or the first real short, really, which is Starlight Angel.
This one, and along with most of these shorts, they have like this very nostalgic music for me. It's very 80s, you know, this film came out during that time, so it makes sense. But the music with the visuals, like the cell shading and things like that, reminded me of renting movies from like the library or Blockbuster, and just seeing how, or just experiencing like when you rent them, they have like this like smell to it, and they're kind of sticky, right? So just thinking about that while listening and watching these shorts sort of got me this sort of brought back memories of an experience that is kind of there, like it's there, but I don't really know how to process it.
I think that is a whole mood. Yes, I mean, I can completely understand what you're saying. I think it's definitely the music that really says, like, sets it, because it's carnival-y, you know, and it's twisted. Like it's like a weird twisted noise that is played throughout this one, and it makes me very confused. But there's like this whole like transformation that's happening in this one, and this one is one of the more confusing ones as of all of them. Like it's like, and it starts out very confusing. And it gives me very Alice in Wonderland vibes, you know, like there's like this main character, she's this little blonde girl, and then she finds a robot who she falls in love with, but she goes to like another dimension, and it's interesting. And then towards the end of this one, you're gonna notice I think what it is a reference to Disney Park, the theme park in Florida, because there's like a castle, and it's like the carnival that these young girls were in, and there's a castle, and then there's even like a shooting star that goes behind it. So I thought that was really interesting about this one.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right, because if I'm not mistaken, Walt Disney, Epcot, they were like trying to like create like a super futuristic city or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So maybe that was nice eye.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that was one thing. Is like there is so much imagery in all of these. Like, just don't look away. It's silent, so you really shouldn't. But yeah. So the next one we're gonna talk about is Cloud.
Yep, Cloud. This one was interesting. So this one is basically of a tiny robot, and he's like walking through human history, and human history is like showing through the clouds, and it's like just showing like what we're capable of or something. Super weird. This one, okay, so I kind of, all right, so I don't like watching things with subtitles, be it live action or animated, if I understand the language, right? So if it's speaking in English and there's subtitles, my eye will gravitate towards the words, and I can't like focus on the visuals, right?
Right.
And this film sort of had a similar problem for me, where I kept focusing on the walking robot that's in the bottom left hand corner and not focusing on most like 90% of what's on screen. So I kind of don't really remember much from
that's I think totally understandable. Yeah, I don't know, that's funny, because I thought that you would like this one the most. I feel like this one is something that you would have created, just knowing you as a person. Yeah, there was like this, I mean, and that's exactly it though. Like you described it perfectly. Like, it's just a walking robot. He's walking through life. This one's also very symbolic. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. There's also some aliens in there at one point. You do see those, so keep an eye out, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, visually, this one probably my favorite, because like maybe it's just the time that I experience this, because I am trying to like do like trying to like expand my abilities and like trying different styles out. Like, this one was kind of like a Grimm's fairy tale storybook sort of quality to it. I kind of like that.
That's interesting, because I said it was like resemblant of like the Renaissance, you know, era. There was a lot of like angels and clouds and what looked like women that were like laying around, which is super Renaissance-y. Yeah, I mean, but it's not like, it was not my favorite, but it was good. I definitely liked it visually. It was very nice. So let's talk about Deprive.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah, this was...
This one was about... no, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It was about robots. Excuse me. In case you didn't know, it was about robots. This one was another robot one, but these guys were fighting, and this one was probably like the least memorable one for me, because I couldn't tell you. You wrote on your notes, you wrote robot fighting ... add a necklace ... and that's literally it. It's all I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the problem with a lot of these is that they feel super dragged out and like padded, and I like, so most of these are like from 7 to like 13 minutes, and a lot of these don't really need to be that long. I think that's an overall criticism I have of this, is that it's like too long. And yeah, like my my kind of comments said it all. It's just kind of like robot fighting and the necklace, like a mild love story. That's it. I guess by your and my lack of comments, might be one of our least favorite of these.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right, Franken's Gears then?
Yeah, this one was my favorite. I think it's because it was the one scene or the one storyline that I had seen prior to this that caught me onto this. So this one's definitely my favorite.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Explain.
Well, it's very spooky, so obviously it's like cool. There's some really cool lighting and scene changes, which I think from an animation perspective, like as an animator, would be very difficult. It's very stylized. There's so much going on in every little second of this piece that it's hard to look away. It's very graphic. It's got an interesting, you know, remodernized folklore story. You know, it's like Frankenstein, but this time it's a mad scientist and his giant robot. I think that is so freaking cool. The music is really, really good. There's some interesting, like, symbolism in it that I'm not entirely sure I understand. It would be, you know, something I'd have to inform myself about, but the main character, what is it?
Just ask me.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me explain it real quick because there's like the main character, he's the mad scientist, right? But he's got this like giant globe on his back and it resembles Atlas, the you know, the carrier of the world. He carries the world on his shoulders. So I'm wondering what that's supposed to represent and why maybe it ended the way it did, because it ended sort of tragically.
So when I was watching like these through these shorts, I was wondering if like these could fit in the same world and if there's like an overarching story that leads to the opening of the film. Like, it's desolation, completely barren, and a lot of these shorts are like filled with life, so I wonder if like there's like a story there. Maybe we can talk about that later. But you mentioned this looks Disney. I totally thought that too. Up to this point, this one was probably my favorite. Very intriguing story of like a super excited yet mad scientist who created life. Right, so he created life from a robot and died by its hand, which is kind of a theme throughout a lot of these shorts. Maybe there is some sort of moral there of hubris or something, like thinking that control it or something. I don't know.
Right.
Which also lends back to clouds, right? Like maybe that is the end of all of these shorts or something like that. And like maybe Frankengears is like Genesis, like the start of robots and basically the progress that they've made throughout human history.
Right. I think that's an interesting aspect there. And I like how some of the artists implanted alien interference into some of these, the themes, you know, because there's a lot of perspectives out there that believe that aliens are the reason we have technology the way that we do, because, you know, at the rate at which we expand our minds is not necessarily been consistent throughout history. You know, like they wonder about like who built the pyramids. I don't know. Aliens did. Duh.
Yeah. Joe Rogan like loves talking about the stoned ape theory, where like
I like that theory.
Where, just for those that don't know, like, the stone ape theory is, like, our ancestors, like, ate some mushrooms and, like, and expanded their minds or something. But, the alien theory is interesting, when talking about these shorts, because, like, a lot of, early human history, like the Egyptians, And like maybe like that's where like gods sort of came from throughout all of human history, where we're actually from outer space and they facilitated our development. So it's an interesting theory, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add on to this?
All right. So the scientist was like doing a gesture with his hands. Like they were like really focusing in on like the hands and stuff. And we couldn't really see what the robot was thinking. Like, was he threatened? Was he just simply mimicking his creator?
Mm.
Which like caused like the building to crumble, like crush up. So interesting question. Like, I did point out that like this ended very like suddenly, and like kind of like this one was one of the head scratchers. Like, huh, I wonder what happened.
Right. What you want to know more.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about presence.
Presence. Good start. Nice atmosphere. So this one was probably one of my favorites. Yeah. This one fits comfortably in like the top three or so. Probably.
Yeah, I would say so too. This one was one of my more favorite ones. It was more advanced, and they didn't have talking in this one either, but I felt very connected to this one.
They did have talking.
Not in this one. The only one that had talking was the Tale of Two Robots.
This dude was like definitely talking, because like he was talking about his wife, and then the robot was talking about like being alive.
Oh no, you're right. That's right. Okay, so it was only those two. Yeah. For some reason, I was like, wait, how do I know all of this information without them talking? Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, but this one, I remember it had a very weird vibe because of the relationship the main character had with the robot. I didn't quite understand it. Like, was it like paternal, or was it some weird fetish fantasy thing?
Right. So before we go further, we have to address the elephant that's in the room. This dude's hair is like,
yes, absolutely. Thank you.
I want to set fire to it. That's
he has the same haircut and then his old age too. Like, it doesn't change.
Right. Yeah. His hair's a robot, probably.
Yeah.
So you were confused, you said, about okay, so wait, first let's sort of talk about what this is. So presence is about a guy. He's like in his 20s or 30s. He like wants a family, and or he has a family, right? Like, he has a wife and like kids,
a child, right? Yeah,
but built a robot woman in his like secret shed, and she becomes sentient and like wants more. Like, she wants love and like wants to be real, like Pinocchio. And so these wants sort of scare him, and then he like kills her. That kind of like rose the hairs on the back of my neck, because that's like, because I'm reading another story called Pluto, and they're covering very similar themes of like, when does a robot no longer become a robot and isn't treated like a second class citizen. A lot of stories cover it, but that's just sort of what's going on in my life. But yeah, so he ends up killing her, and decades later, I guess he's like haunted, perhaps. This one was another head scratcher. Like, maybe he's haunted of what he did, because she like kind of comes back, he vanishes.
Yeah, you know, that definitely was a head scratcher for me. I'm glad that you said all of that you just said, because she does carry him off. And I was wondering why their relationship seemed so bizarre, and it was because she was sentient. But that, I think, to me, I don't know, this whole, aren't all of the robots sentient? I don't understand the difference between that robot and like another robot.
Well, I think the question is, okay, so the reason why he was scared was because he didn't program that into her. So It's like, whoa, how are you feeling these? But I guess if a robot is programmed with it, okay, so like I'm going to refer back to Pluto. So a lot of the more advanced robots have adaptive artificial intelligence systems, meaning they can like learn and grow. So there's this line of what's just mimicking human emotion and actually like feeling it. So maybe this one was sort of delving in that realm, perhaps.
I can see why that would be raising the hair on your back of the neck, because that is terrifying to not really know if something is sentient.
Yeah, like for us, for example, what if a robot was programmed with perfect like human behaviors? Is it still a robot or is it human? And like some people, is a soul involved? There's lots of questions.
Sure, definitely. Okay, well, that solves a lot in my head. Thank you for explaining that. Let's move on to A Tale of Two Robots, Chapter 3, Foreign Invasion.
This one was another favorite of mine. It's just like a giant robot battle between East and West. So there's like a Japanese style robot and like a European. Was he from America or just Europe?
They called him America. Like they said the language he was speaking was American, but he had like a German accent. So who knows?
Okay. Maybe, you know, it's kind of how, you know, the, how Westerners think all Asian people look the same. So I guess if all Asian people think all Europeans look the same, like,
definitely.
Do you want to talk about this one or?
Yeah. So this one took place, late Japan, late 1920s. I thought this one was super interesting because it started off with what you assume is a tsunami, but it turns out it's not. It's a giant robot. Who would have guessed? Manned by an evil genius. This evil genius has some weird eyes. Love it. Don't know why he's got weird eyes though. But they're like battle bots in postmodern Japan. Super interesting. So the main character's name, get this, the evil genius's name is John Jackalfulness III. I can't make this up. It's like a very steampunk thing. And this is definitely one of my top three as well. Just because it's so fun. It's very cute. And this is definitely the part in Love, Death, and Robots that is mimicked in a way. And I think those of you who have seen it probably know exactly the little short I'm talking about. But yeah. It ends pretty cool, pretty dramatically, very, very funny, I would say.
Yeah, this one had some of the coolest action in it, very steampunk. So I was just thinking about this, but the Japanese robot had like a unit to it, right? They were like a Megazord. They were like a bunch of different people working to create the whole. But for the Western guy, it was just one. And I wonder if that's like a commentary on Eastern versus Western philosophies of individuality versus a team unit, right? Just sort of like a comment, thought I had.
No, I do. I like that. That's interesting.
And I liked how, this is small, but I liked how they had, okay, so like in some shows, they all have people of different languages speaking the same language. So there's kind of like a, it sort of takes you out a bit, but they like actually like speak their language. There's like the Japanese speaking Japanese, the Westerner is like not speaking the language. So it like feels more immersive that way.
Yeah. And I can agree with that. That's pretty interesting the way they did that. So let's move on to the last one, called Nightmare. This one was another one that I thought was very symbolic as well, but I can't really say if there's a real story behind this other than it's like the Ride of the Valkyries. If you've ever like heard that music, I feel like that music should have been for this one. It's like kind of chaotic and just like chaos, I would say.
This one was like another one of those head scratchers that I love talking about. So this one is about a guy, like I guess he's drunk, he wakes up in an apparent over like a robot invasion or something. He thinks that he's like being chased by these robots until we find out that there were no robots, and ends up on like the 200th floor on a giant skyscraper with like beams and like construction stuff stuck up there with him, and like cars and stuff. It's pretty nuts, that ending.
It was pretty interesting. The only things I could think about when watching this were like, do you remember that one episode of Powerpuff Girls called Boogie Frights?
What was it about?
It was about the boogeyman, right? And he's like bringing all out of all of his like, you know, nightmarish creatures, and he rules the night. He creates like this giant disco ball around the world just so he can boogie all night.
I think so.
I highly recommend watching it on YouTube. I'm gonna link it in our resources. If you want to do like a side-by-side comparison of these two, it's really, really very similar. Also, if you've ever heard the story of the Pied Piper, it's kind of got resemblances to the red-caped character in this one.
Okay. In what ways?
So the Pied Piper is actually a story that is somewhat true. It's about a fiddlest. I don't know what you call him. A piper. I guess you call him a piper. And he's all dressed in all red, and he leads rats out of the city to get rid of them, because it's like a huge problem. So he was supposed to get paid to do this, but because they didn't pay him to do it, he basically lured all the children away. That's the story of the Pied Piper. It just reminds me, like, there are certain scenes in there where he's like playing his drum, and it's like making these crazy maniacal looking robots awake. It's also got like Dawn of the Dead robots kind of vibes too. I think this one was interesting, and it had a lot of different themes and resemblances to some more modern or less modern like stories I thought were interesting. Also, I'm going to add the link to the Pied Piper story and the resources too, if you guys want to check that out.
Okay. So you have some interesting notes here. You want to talk about those?
Which ones?
Cthulhu, Darkwing Duck.
I feel like he looked like Darkwing Duck. Like, I had like a Darkwing Duck vibes. This one gave me so many different vibes. There was like a pendulum that was being swung in the beginning. It was like a whole city thing with pendulum, and it was like Cthulhu vibes. Dude, I don't know, man. This one was like a roller coaster.
Okay, what about the Boo Rat Duck monstrosity?
Oh, yeah. There's... I can't explain it. Other than that, look at it. Seriously, watch it. Watch it and think. Boob, rat, duck, monstrosity, and you will know. You will then know what I'm talking.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say. Also, like, for some reason, there's like this guy that created this thing, right? And then he laser beams it because he saw it. He was like, nah, I made this thing, but fuck it. Like, it's a monstrosity, and he fucking kills it. Anyway.
Wait. So do you think what happened was like actually happened, or do you think like it was just like a dream or something?
That's a good question, because I was thinking to myself, is this the only guy awake in all of Japan? Because he's like the only one noticing all of us. So I don't know. I think maybe it was like drugs Some good LSD, maybe? Who knows?
Some bad acid trip.
Right.
Yeah, that's sort of my theory. Like, the robots were just, like, cars, different things like that, and, like, him just freaking out, and, like, somehow ending up, like, he was just, like, so out of it that he somehow found himself 200 floors up with cars and, like, beams and things like that up there with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Check it out. Seriously, this is, like, the last one, you know, except for the ending, which is very sad, but it wraps it up very nicely. Lets you know it's the end real quick. So, yeah, overall, amazing anthology. Please watch it, you guys.
Did we even talk about what? We missed the last one. Like, that one was crazy.
I just talked about it.
Not to my satisfaction. Hello?
I'm still here. I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. All right. So this film ends where the first one started, basically. So the giant carnival on wheels has a hard time getting up this sand dune, and it overworks itself, explodes, but like a tiny version comes out of it, and this guy finds it, thinks it's cool because it's like making fireworks and stuff, music. He brings it home. It makes noise for his family. And then, like, explodes the house. The end.
I know. I wasn't going to give any spoilers away, but now you're too late. Too late.
We always do spoilers, though.
I know. We have a warning. That's what the warning's for.
Overall, you're
10 out of 10.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I liked this theory. Okay, so like for the first half, I
theory.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, my main concern is like it's super padded. So I watched like the first half at normal speed, and it took me like several days to watch it. Like I would like after each one, I would like take a day or two off. But so the second half, I watched it at like 1.5 speed, and it's like much better. So watch it. So I recommend watching it at like 1.25 or 1.5 speed, and I think you'd really like it.
All right, fair. That's fair. Okay, so I think that's it for Robot Carnival. Next week, we're gonna continue our spooky month of spooky spookiness, and we're gonna be watching Monster House, classic film. We will be discussing what happens next. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.